Archdiocese of New Zealand of the Ecumenical Patriarchate presents In the Narthex with Father Paul Patitsis. Join him as he shares with us the ancient apostolic faith of the Christian Greek Orthodox Church. And now your host, Father Paul.
A radio program of the Sacred Archdiocese of New Zealand. I'm your host, Vasily Baldwin, a layman of the St. Demetrios and St. Nikitas Greek Orthodox Church, located in West Hoe, Plymouth, England. I'm filling in for Father Paul while he's away, and I appreciate your patience as I learn the ropes. Chosen to learn about St. Werburga, an Anglo-Saxon princess most well known for being patron saint of the city of Chester in Cheshire, England. Her name day is on the 3rd of February. I'm interested in her story for two reasons. Firstly, because there is a church named after her in Wembury, a small town not far from Plymouth. It was built by the Normans in 1088, replacing an earlier Saxon wooden building. Secondly, because I used to live in Chester when I was a young boy and once went to Chester Cathedral on a school trip. Though I don't really remember much about it, it's still a beautiful cathedral and has bell towers and, yeah, it's a lovely place to visit. St. Werburga, as already mentioned, was a princess, daughter of King Wulfhere of Mercia. This is a time before England existed as a nation. There were multiple kingdoms, the South Saxons, West Saxons, Kent, East Saxons, East Angles, Mercians and Northumbrians. Werburga's mother was later to become known as St. Ermenelda of Ely and her grandmother as St. Siaxburga of Ely. They were both abbesses and Werburga was later to succeed her mother, grandmother and great-aunt Etheldreda as fourth abbess of Ely. So Werburga grew up in a royal household, her father being a powerful king who converted to Christianity from paganism, and her mother being daughter of an abbess. We're not told how King Wulfhere converted to Christianity, but I suspect it was due to the influence and example of his wife. King Wulfhere, seeing that his daughter Werburga was more inclined to a spiritual life than a worldly one, gave her at an early age to the care and supervision of her great-aunt Etheldreda, abbess of Ely, under whom she took the veil. Not long after this, Werburga's father King Wulfhere passed away, and her mother Erminilda also became a nun at Ely in the year 675, eventually succeeding her mother Siaxburga as abbess. In due course, Werburga's uncle Ethelred became ruler of Mercia and invited her to return home and assume control over all the convents within the kingdom. Werburga therefore dedicated the rest of her life to the business of reforming the existing Mercian establishments and founding new religious houses, including those at Trentham, Hanbury and Weedon. Endowed with the gifts of prophecy and of reading the secrets of hearts. Knowing how devoted her different communities were to her and how each would endeavour to secure the possession of her body after death, she determined to forestall such pious rivalry by choosing Hanbury as her place of burial. But the nuns of the monastery of Trentham determined to keep their remains. They not only refused to deliver them to those who came from Hanbury, but they even locked up the coffin in a crypt and set a guard to watch over it. The people of Hanbury sent out a large party to make good their claims. Reaching Trentham at midnight, all the bolts and bars yielded at their touch, while the guards were overpowered by sleep and were unaware that the coffin was being carried to Hanbury. So numerous and marvellous were the cures worked at the saint's tomb that in 708 her body was solemnly translated to a more conspicuous place in the church, in the presence of her brother Kenred, who had now succeeded King Ethelred. In spite of having been 9 years in the tomb, the body was intact and found to be incorrupt. So great was the impression made on Kenred that he resolved to resign his crown and followed in his sister's footsteps. In 875, through fear of the Danes and in order to show greater honour to the saint, the body was removed to Chester. In 1095, her relics were translated within Chester, where in the course of time a great church, now the cathedral, was built over the shrine, where the remains of it may still be seen, carved with the figures of her ancestors, the ancient kings of Mercia. On its four sides, the deep niches remain, where the pilgrims knelt, seeking healing, afterwards receiving a metal token to show that they had visited her shrine. The shrine was destroyed under King Henry VIII, although part of its stone base survives. St. Werburga is often shown in icons and stained glass windows with geese or holding a goose. That's because the most noted miracle attributed to Werburga relates to an incident at a farm in Weedon, close to Chester, which was being plagued by a flock of wild geese, who were feasting on the farm's cornfields, much to the detriment of its overall productivity. Werburga dealt with the problem by ordering the geese to be shut up for the night. The geese apparently meekly obeyed her command. The next day she scolded them for ravaging the fields and told them to go away. The geese, however, refused to leave, as the previous night one of their number had been caught, killed and eaten by the farm steward. Werburga ordered the steward to bring forth the bird's remains, at which point Werburga restored the bird to life. The flock, including the now resurrected goose, then departed and in gratitude never returned again. Still other miracles were recorded after St. Werburga's relics were translated to Chester. I found in a book named The Life of St. Werburga of Chester the following description. It says, the poet then relates part of the miracles done since St. Werburga's translation to Chester. She saved that place from the Welsh king Gryphinus, and again from the Danes and Scots under kings Harold and Malcolm. She thrice cured a lame woman, Edgida, made a barren woman, Judith, conceive, helped another in labour, and restored a woman struck blind for working on the Sabbath. Healed six blind and lame persons, delivered a man hanged unlawfully from the gibbet, saved corn hoarded up in her park at Upton during a raid from being destroyed by the enemy's horses, cured one of her canons, Ulmanus, who had broken his leg. After the Norman invasion and during the reign of William the Conqueror, a magnificent abbey in the honour of St. Werburga was founded and handed over to Benedictine monks. Miracles continued. St. Werburga appeared to a monk of her abbey, Dan Simon, who was much abused by his fellows, exhorting him to bear wrong patiently. In 1180, a great fire broke out at Chester, which destroyed the minster of St. Michael and threatened to consume the whole city, but was suddenly extinguished when the shrine of St. Werburga was carried about in procession. Perhaps the most remarkable thing about St. Werburga for me is her foreignness. I mean, she was English, probably more English than I am, really. Certainly she's part of the fabric of this country now, but she's also foreign in a way that she was an abbess. I've yet to go to any monastery. I've never met any abbess, or an abbot for that matter. I don't believe I've seen the relics of a saint carried in procession yet either. So to read these stories and to hear the descriptions of these miraculous happenings and these essentially orthodox beliefs and rituals and traditions being carried out in England, the same England in which I am right now, but also a historical England, which is no longer, it's a remarkable thing. It's very hard to picture, but it gives hope, and I think it encourages faith for the future. It allows you to imagine what could be, to picture these things happening in England once again. The idea of requesting a saint for deliverance, whether it be from fire, from invasion, from plague, whatever it might be. It's a strange thought, but it's also a comforting thing to be able to lean on that tradition in a time of need.
Dios, Padre, Santo, Cielo, Deseo.
Thank you again for listening to In the Narthex. This is a radio ministry of the Sacred Archdiocese of New Zealand, which is headquartered in Wellington and whose shepherd is His Eminence Archbishop Miron. Thank you for joining us, and we look forward to being with you again next week.
See you. Slow.